Winston City Council, August 5th, 2024, 7 p.m.
They said the possibility of 36 inches of rain in Georgia.
It's slow moving, so it's just keeps on going.
And more of the bricks is all the dirt in Georgia. But yeah, so they really catch it.
Yeah.
Order, please. Join me in the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call. Councilor White?
Here.
Councilor Cunningham?
Here.
Councilor Hobson?
Here.
Councilor Anderson?
Here.
I'm here as well. Adjustments to the agenda, Mr. Bauer? Excuse me.
The transition is recent enough, we can let that go.
Adjustments to the agenda, Mr. McIntyre?
None, Your Honor.
Thank you. Consent agenda, looking for approval for the council minutes and the workshop minutes of July 22nd, workshop and then the regular meeting. Motion to approve, please.
A motion to approve the council minutes and workshop minutes.
I have a motion. Looking for a second?
Second.
I have a motion and 2 seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much. Comments from the audience. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda is welcome to address the city council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not profane, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The council reserves a right to delay action until we have full information on the issue. Would anyone like to approach the council? Okay, you're second. Sir.
I'll be quick. My name is Jim Luce, 377 Pintail. My wife and I walk 6 days a week down mostly on Abraham, and occasionally I'll ride my bicycle on 42 down Broadway and up around Looking Glass, and I'm just amazed at how much litter is along those two stretches. I think a lot of it's coming from that convenience store, but I'm wondering, and I know you got to catch them in the act, but I mean, is there very many citations? Have you guys been able to have any opportunity to cite some of these people that are...
Nothing's popping into my brain for littering right now. I mean, without really doing some research, I have no idea.
If we got you a bag and a grabber, would you?
Well, I do that already. When I'm walking with my wife, I figure I might as well put myself to some useful purpose. So I usually come back with a bag full.
What, quality time with your wife isn't enough?
It's too bad that high school, you know, they have some bad boys on detention. They can't give them a bag and have them police up around the school.
That's cruel and unusual.
It probably is. Sure. Anyway, I've said enough.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yes, ma'am.
Terry Fink, 1100 Abraham Avenue. Over the weekend, yesterday, we noticed, several of his neighbors noticed a tent camper down by the creek, so I called dispatch. Officer Smith came out and was most awesome and diligent. So many times, all you guys hear is the concerns and the negativity, so I wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you. And it worked, and everything was great, and he was a legitimate person.
Thank you. We appreciate that. Brandon, will you please pass that along to the officer? Thank you. That's awesome. Thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
Reports, boards, commission, committees, and schools. Friends of the Winston Library. Paula, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Just by the hair of your chinny chin chin, huh?
Yes, sir. From the Winston Library. I'm very new at this, so forgive me. I did give you, or in your report, you should have a year-to-date for the fiscal year for the library. If there's any questions or anything about that?
The only thing I say it's remarkable is that your income is growing very, very well.
Oh, Good, thank you.
Okay, from the first time it started, it was not even close to what this is now.
Good. That's good to hear. I've only been here for the last, four or five months.
So this way it looks is very healthy.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
But you've got a bunch of good people with you.
Yes, there is.
Comments, Alan?
Yes. We didn't have a meeting this last month, but the month before we did. And this is a great group to work with, and this always is a great addition to our staff.
Fantastic. That's wonderful to hear.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Thank you. I did prepare a little bit of the statistics, if you would like.
Please.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't get it in the handout, so I apologize.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. For the year, there are a total of 2,534 active accounts in the system, which of that, 487 people have checked out materials, and a total number of 7,826 total items have been checked out, but that's also audiobooks and all that kind of stuff. So that's a grand gesture of everything. We have also added 623 new materials just this year.
Nice.
So we're trying to keep up to date on all the technology and all that kind of stuff as well. Which reminds me, I'm going to a meeting on Thursday with UCC to get a hold of STEM projects. So we're trying to incorporate that back into the library. And there's
awesome.
Something else, but now I forgot.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you.
Paul, well, how did the summer reading program go?
Oh, that has just concluded. We had roughly about 30 to 40 children attend on average. So it's about 50 to 60 people per just 6 weeks. There has been a rumor that there's a lot more to beforehand, and hopefully we can get back up to those numbers.
So do you think COVID has something to do with that?
Yes and no. And I think because after COVID there was a high turnout, but I think because of the lack of steadiness of directors, it has fallen.
Okay. And you're going to solve that problem.
Yes.
Perfect. Any more comments or questions?
I think that's all I have.
Great. Paula, thank you so much.
You.
Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Department reports. Mr. McIntosh, what do you got?
Thank you, Mayor, members of council. Good evening, members of the audience. So real quick, just a couple quick things for you. The group representing the efforts behind the creation of a potential new chamber have requested more time to conduct their research. So they should have something before you, either the next council meeting or one thereafter. So just wanted to let you know that. One of those individuals is here this evening in case she wants to potentially make any comments on that at the council's discretion. The second thing I had for you, the council gave direction previously on conducting research on the transient room tax ordinance and the history there and changing it to allow for more discretionary funding to be available to you. So we concluded that research. Our original ordinance for transient room tax was put in place in 1985. We don't have to go through all the elements of the history, but it went through several modifications in concert with the statutory provisions that changed. The last one that we enacted was February of 2018, and it was very highly connected to the chamber at that time, the contract that was being entertained by the city. So a lot of the figures are kind of in connection to that. And one of the reasons I say that is we have a discretionary amount of 12.2%, and we have a non-discretionary amount of 87.8%. And I thought that was an incredibly specific figure and split when it allows for a 70-30 split. So looking into the research, it became very apparent that due to contractual negotiations at the time with the chamber, that number, the derision of it really came from that. So there's no statutory requirements that would prevent us from moving that threshold from 12.2 to 30%. We budget 20,000, so what that would give you, instead of having 2,440 available, for discretionary, you would have 6,000. That would be where the needle kind of moves. The rest would be non-discretionary, which means you have to use it for tourism where you're marketing things 50 miles away or more, or facilitating an overnight stay. So we should have an ordinance for you in fairly short order. It would, of course, have to go through two readings and be subject to a public hearing. Happy to take any questions.
Do we really garner $20,000 in taxes from one motel as a vacation rentals?
We don't, Your Honor. We do not gain that much revenue.
So what are we talking, honest engine here, what do we make?
Less than $7,000. It's in the $6,000 range. We took a real hit when that other hotel transitioned to nonprofit and no longer offered any hotel motel taxes that we could collect. So the two hotels together didn't even really get us to the $20,000 either. So as you know, the rule requires any kind of events, the profits, the proceeds, have to go to a nonprofit that you were putting it on for. So, for example, we've got your 6th Oktoberfest in September. That is Veteran Suicide Prevention.
Is the city of Winston a nonprofit?
That's for sure.
If only. Statutory requirements prohibit us from retaining those proceeds.
Is there any way conceivable, even thinking outside the box, that we could bring in the campgrounds that are not paying the tourism tax?
Well, your ordinance, which is 377 from 1985, is very explicit in the fact that it says any kind of transient activity that exceeds 29 days, you don't collect. So it's not only there, but we had performed a research project sometime back because we have 4 RV parks that are really long-term stay. There's been some case law that came down on this that essentially they're defined as mobile home parks because they're permanent. And with that adds additional complications and exposure, if you
will. Because they're not, because they're a quote unquote campground, they don't show up in the census. Mm-hmm. We don't collect TRT funds from them. They're just kind of.
They're out in safe land.
Yeah, they're a non-entity, as Alan just said.
Yeah, they're transient in nature, so the census...
How do we fix this?
Well,
or do we?
Moving forward, the fix would be any new development, you would require that provision, which we did with the tentative approval that's over here, in the tune of 7%, the maximum on gross activity for the RV park, and that's...
Is there any way to hold these RV park owners' feet to the fire to have them...
They're more or less under the grandfather clause, aren't they?
Well, no, but they're still, if they have people staying there for less than 29 days, they're supposed to pay a 7% tax on them, but we have no way of monitoring that.
It's an honor system. They report that by one-page document, which is what that ordinance says to do. Their hotel tax that they are facilitating, they take a one-pager, they fill it out, they submit it to the city saying we had this many. Your RV parks today say that we have 0 that are staying under 29 days. And that has essentially been the precedent for some time.
I'd like to know.
But if that's something the council would like us to revisit, we can certainly open that research again.
I'd like to know just how do you monitor the honesty in that? It's an honor program with not very many honorable people. Sorry.
If we want to pursue down that avenue, it comes with inherent risks as it relates to individuals staying long term and the fact that they've been able to have that convenience for thus far.
Is it really a risk?
From a litigation standpoint, it is. There is a risk that you take.
What's the percentage of risk?
I couldn't tell you the percentage.
But you see where I'm going with that.
It's off their water.
Pretty large.
Yeah. That's what you call a catch 22.
Okay, Mr. Mackin, anything else? Any other cheery news?
That's all, Mayor. Thank you.
While we're in the department reports, Mr. Howell, what would your position be on? I've been traveling around a little bit here of late. We were kind of at the coast of Reedsport, down in Klamath Falls, Grants Pass. I've seen a lot of something we used to have a lot of here, which were flower baskets hanging on the poles in town, and just how attractive that is. What's your position on public works maintaining those? Is there something that you could be interested in, or we need to find a nonprofit to handle that other than the city?
Well, I agree 100% with the flower stuff. It's, you know, that's something coming through really stands out. It's, you know, like you said, Mayor, when they were out, they were nice. There was, you know, volunteers doing that. I personally would like to see volunteers involved. It just, you know, it builds a little bit of working relationship. And the fact that it does take quite a bit of time to do that. We personally don't have the staff right now to undertake that. I mean, I would love to say, yeah, we'd roll it in the house. But if we had some volunteers that would like to maybe head that up or something, that'd be awesome.
What happened the last time? Because
Chamber used to do that. Pardon me? Chamber used to do that.
Well, yeah, the way I recall,
beautification,
is there's a golf cart sitting in Walt Taylor's garage that's got a water tank and a pump on it. But at the time when the volunteers were doing it, something came up about a workers' comp issue. And so they basically had to almost bail on it unless...
Yeah, there were some safety concerns. And once again, needed to be some training and things, because now, back years ago, our traffic has increased, so depending on what time you're out doing it. But everybody knows here, I mean, this is crazy. So you got to be really cognizant of when you're out there in the street. Just willy-nilly around, you got to be, you know. So there were some issues, I believe, that came from that.
Right. So something we can maybe think about planning for next year with some of that $20,000 of discretionary money?
Indeed we can, Mayor.
Okay, anything else for department reports, questions, guys? Okay, set council workshop dates have necessitated. Do we have anything we're working on?
No workshops needed at this time. We might have one for you forthcoming.
Oh, excuse me. One more thing, stepping back. At the last URA meeting, we discussed a venue remodel for this space. Has anything happened along those lines yet? Have we contracted a decorator or anybody to give us a design possibility?
So in connection with that, the URA board's determination, we did delegate that to Public Works, as we typically do with city projects that are physically or infrastructure related. So I'll let Andy speak on that.
So one of the things that we had a staff get together down here somewhat and kicking this thing around and just kind of go back in time a little bit. The original, you know, we've done the exterior of the city hall. We've done this and stuff out here. We have the pole out here that we actually wanted to move to, because one of the issues with the flagpole currently, on half staff, it gets wrapped up in the building. So, and there's other issues associated with it. So we, you know, the goal was going to be to move the pole out here with the light, kind of the focal point. We did the ADA, the new approach coming in, and then work our way into the lobby, the entryway, the foyer, whatever you like to call it, and then down this hall and into the council chambers. That was kind of the goal as a phase one, but we all know about how our phases go sometimes. We hit a phase one, then we kind of hit a roadblock, and then everything stops again. So we're going to kick that back up again. We have some good ideas. We're going to be meeting probably next week with Scene and kind of just start kicking some things around. You know, we talked about lowering the dais down, kind of restructuring in here with the sheetrock and the drop ceiling with some speakers and the lighting, maybe a big screen TV, you know, or one or two or something, kind of a little more friendly, a little more. You know, because when folks walk, I can't speak for the general public, I can only speak for myself, about when I walk into the front doors of City Hall, you want it to be warm and welcoming, right? I think we all agree on that. We want, this is the hub, the heart. City Hall is the heart. It needs to reflect the direction and vision that we're moving to. So it's really important that it's not a light task that we take, and we'll be having involvement with that, council, of course, involved on it.
Is there a possibility when we upgrade the, call it the telecommunications, if you will, is to have it like a Zoom so people could come in and from their house and watch the meeting so we get as
many people Brandon. As we can. Good question for Brandon.
Oh, by the way, here's a buck.
So I have our conference room at the PD set up that way. It's not for the public, but it can be used that same way. The system that I was looking at, if we do the drop-down ceilings like they were talking about, I've been looking at different council chambers locally as I'm at meetings, and this would be fairly easy to do. I mean, we'd have to do some electrical work. Most of the council chamber meetings that they have when they have Zoom, it's not only for the public, but it's also for the council to view. Mm-hmm. So it's not interaction with the public. None of them are interaction. So the public can submit responses. If you had a, like the City of Roseburg has someone that monitors it on meeting to get responses from the community. We don't have the staffing for that,
right.
One, but they have that. Most of the other ones just have a video, an audio where they can watch. And I think there's someone that monitors which camera it goes to, if it's a citizen talking or the council. This place here, we can set it up fairly easy. You have a monitor back here, say mm-hmm. if the council member's missing or gone or on vacation, they can be there and be there for the citizens. And you can communicate with the council and get his vote and all that, or her vote, whatever. And so it's very similar in nature to how the command room is set up at the sheriff's office. Same deal.
That's one of the options that we can provide. However, I think by far and away, the electronic equipment that we want to introduce, the biggest benefit is the visual aids that we can display here in the chamber for the audience and for the council. One of the things that we do is we print these agendas off, and we have them available to the public, but we don't print off 10 or 12 copies of the council packet. So following along and displaying the staff reports, displaying the resolutions, the context of that will be very beneficial. In addition, you know, with the different stuff we've been going through, we've been producing lots of visual aids. For example, the sewer map that shows a lot of deficiencies, essentially bleeding red, you know, all over there. Those things are integral to be able to display in the chamber. So a TV there for the public, big enough for them to view.
Yeah,
one back there for the council, and having a concurrent image up in that regard. So we're very excited about, the wheels are turning on that in terms of bringing someone in and giving this room a electronic and visual facelift.
Personally, I think one of the priorities would be communication with the public, because communication is extremely important. And I do that the price. But the whole point of that is that we have an obligation to communicate to as many of our citizens as we possibly can, because that has nothing but positive effects for their citizens and also for the council. So I see that as a priority, and that's why I think that the Zoom and all that is good. Mm-hmm. Just like now the which way is a compliment, is the letter that went out in the sewer bill. Okay. And I see that as all tied together as one project.
Councilor White, you recall our visit to Jacksonville?
Kind of. Refresh my memory.
Just that they had a relatively newly remodeled council chamber at that point, and it's spectacular. If you guys have the opportunity to go down and
we don't have a big enough room, though. That they
well,
can.
I know, but just the concept itself was communication. And anyway, it's a pretty cool space. Something to think about is if you want to emulate something, that'd be something to think about. Okay, moving right along. Resolution number 24-1151, the Civil West Engineering Wastewater Master Plan. By title only, please, Ms. Sardi.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Resolution number 24-1151, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council, authorizing the interim city manager to enter into an agreement with Civil West Engineering Services, Inc. to complete a wastewater master plan funded by the Clean Water State Revolving Fund for an amount not to exceed $100,000.
Thank you, Ms. Sardi. Staff report, Mr. Howell, please.
Mayor, Council, members of the audience. The last one we did it was in 2016, and BTS started that one, which is they're no longer, they were our engineer record for some time. And then SHN kind of picked up that master plan from 16. And since 16, of course, we've had a lot of growth, we've had a lot of change. And the staff has been very doggedly determined to identify our system. So we have a lot more newer information being added in this new plan. The new master plan will be an updated plan with priority lists. It'll help to, of course, funding options. It meets DEQ requirements for it. It shows that we're proactive, not reactive. It'll help. It'll have a basically a place we can all go to. It'll outline projects, cost. So, and the nice thing about it is it's, it's a forgivable loan. It's a $100,000 forgivable loan, which is pretty awesome. I got to give kudos to Thomas on this one. He's done a lot of work in the background, doing a lot of things, shaking a lot of trees and stuff. So that's another one, which is huge. And staff does recommend that council approve that scope of work with Civil West for $100,000, which is a DEQ loan.
Thank you, Randy. Any comments from the audience? Any of y'all got anything to ask or add to the
vote? This was started in 2016.
Yeah, that's the one we've been working off of. And in that time, the top three priorities was snow pump station, the siphon, as we recall that when that was investigation of the siphon, and it went into replacing concrete pipes. So one of the things we discovered is I think we've talked about in the past was a lot of our pipes was identified as concrete. And then since we have our system now, we've confirmed that they're not. They're 90% AC pipe. So we had a misrepresentation of information there. So that was number two priority. Number three priority is floodproofing low mantles, tighten the system up, and step systems going to gravity. That was the top three priorities in 16. And we're well on our way into these things. We've been chopping away at them. The council's aware of that. Addressing the I&I, addressing things that we can. And of course, the siphon's right there, or Abraham's right there. Everything's falling into place, and those steps that's been going to gravity is something we definitely want to do. We definitely want to do that. Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Yes. We,
something we love, very near, not to your heart necessarily, but it's important for you.
Yeah, so it's kind of a long-winded answer, Dave. Is now, I'm sorry. So, anyway.
Is this a requirement of the DEQ?
Yeah, they like to
okay,
see. Yeah, yes, they like to see that for obvious
like
reasons.
Updated.
Yes, that we're
not
actually. It's like I&I study. We haven't been years since we have to do that too. Mm-hmm. So as we ratchet things up. So.
Anybody else? Okay, looking for a motion to approve Resolution 24-1151, the Civil West Engineering Wastewater Master.
I make that. A motion that we approve 24-1151.
Have a motion looking for a second, please.
I second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much. Resolution number 24-1152, the Community Center Kitchen Lease Agreement. By title only, please, Ms. Sardi.
Thank you, Mayor. Resolution number 24-1152. A resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the interim city manager to enter into a lease agreement with S&B Foods LLC for utilization of the kitchen space located in the Winston Community Center as successor in interest assignee under the lease to Douglas County, Oregon, originally made on June 30th, 2004.
Thank you, Ms. Sardi. Mr. McIntosh, staff report, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. So, of course, we have had a contract with Douglas County for the Senior Center Services and the Meals on Wheels platform, which is an essential program, does a lot of good in the community, facilitates a really good public service to those individuals. The county chooses their vendor. It's important to know that. They choose who they want to carry out that food service operation. So they recently went through a bidding process. They've been with Bateman for years and years, and they put it out for a bid. They had their food provisions and requirements, and they chose to go with another operation, which is this S&B Food. So we naturally had to transition into a negotiation period and process with S&B Food Services. The change gives the city the opportunity to introduce things that might offer better protections in terms of that kitchen and how it's orchestrated. So one of the things that you'll see in the contract is attached. There was a few minor edits, adjustments that were made today that was sent to you electronically. But a few things that are important to note is this group will be ramping up their services. They are orchestrating their operation from the North Bend area with temperature-controlled food trucks for the time being until they can get enough staff, hire a crew, and they can replace the commercial dishwasher. They can retrofit it with some additional equipment that they're going to need. So in the interim, you'll notice in the contract that's proposed, the fee starts out at $1,000. Then it increases in the tune of $200 each month until it gets to $2,000. After that, it increases based on the CPI, 2%, but no more than 5%. So those are the financial diligence that I think is important to highlight in this new proposal. One of the reasons why that's important is the previous contract did not have a CPI increase at the beginning of every fiscal year. And it's important to, the price on that building keeps going up. So we have to look at that. The other thing is the new leasee will be responsible for 100% maintenance of the equipment they're using in there, which we didn't have in our previous contract.
Does that include refrigeration?
It doesn't include anything that's structurally attached to the building. So, I mean, that's tough. So
the refrigerator and the freezer will still be our responsibility?
Well, they will assume some element of responsibility up to a certain amount. But after that, in good conscience, the city, because it's structurally attached, we have to look at how we can, you know, make that or approach that
in that regard. So I want to destroy that and start all over again. It's there. We have to work with it.
The last thing is that the leasee will be required to put in a deposit. We're in a situation right now. I've visited the kitchen several times since the last group left. There hasn't been really any cleaning services that have, the condition they left it in. We do have a meeting with the individual that ran that on Wednesday, meeting him at the kitchen with the hope that they will carry those contractual duties forward and get them done. However, we're just trying to be preventative here and collect a deposit in case that happens again. So those are three, I think, highlights that you'll notice in that contract that I think are enhancements that will offer additional protections for the city. Happy to take any questions.
Just a comment, and it's outside the contract. First of all, that sounded like that when I looked it over, it sounded like a very good contract. Okay. But this is just for the record. I've gotten now 7 calls of the poor quality of the food of this food service, and to the point that several of them are seniors are starting to say we are not going to go back.
I was there personally, and I will say the same thing. The first time was comparable to what we had with Bateman. The second one is the one I was went to, and I was appalled. And it was being reported. There was rice on the tray that you couldn't even chew. It was like hadn't been cooked. The fish was barely warm. And they had broccoli, which they bought the cheapest broccoli there was because all it was the stems. They did have good chocolate cookies. I didn't have one, but somebody said they were good. That was one good thing. And I think they're learning, too, that they can't ship that far and not have adequate procedure to keep the things hot. Mm-hmm.
That's difficult to do, I know.
Thank you for that, and I think that's one of the reasons why we required a staggered amount. If it's increasing, then that motivates them a little more to ramp up their operation, to have it staged centralized in the kitchen.
But if they've lost all their customers before we get to
that, right.
What's the point? Yeah.
Before we get to that. I wonder if we might be able to put those complaints together and direct them towards Douglas County, who holds their
That's
contract.
That's who we have to go with. Douglas mm-hmm. County, they're the ones that hired them.
Mm-hmm. One of the constituents that called me said that they had a Salisbury steak. So he was planning to mail it to the National Hockey League for a buck. Unquote.
Point well taken.
Well,
okay. That's a bit insensitive.
But it's accurate.
Yeah, well, be that as it may.
Because yeah, we do have a duty. We have a very astute duty to our senior citizens.
Certainly.
We do.
Okay, and yeah. When we start things like this, it should be passed on and things take, you know, brought to the attention.
Well,
of
you know, I think Bateman did a pretty good job, but it was all prepared there. And it's difficult to consistently move food, probably a 2-hour trip, and have it really in great shape to serve after that long of a journey, unless you've really taken special measures to make sure it gets there fresh and hot. I know, we tried it, and you can do it, but you've got to be on the ball. Any comments from the audience? This is probably something y'all ought to be interested in.
There's too many young people out there.
I think you're right.
Al? Is there any, what is their idea of when they're actually going to start fixing food there in that kitchen?
Well, the contract goes through to February where it arrives at $2,000 a month.
Right.
It's my strong indication based on talking to the individual that's running it that it'll be significantly prior to that. So once they get fully equipped in that kitchen, we're giving them ample time, but it sounded like 2 or 3 months is the indication that I got.
Yeah, I would say that the sooner they get making food right there, mm-hmm. the better off they're going to be.
Were there any tenants in the contract with the county for quality?
The tenants ran in concert with their environmental health license, which...
So really there's nothing to do
which
with
doesn't
quality.
Say
it
much.
Has to be quote,
edible.
Quote, wholesome and edible.
Yeah, edible.
If that, and I'm wondering if Councilor White maybe... I mean, there's a lot of fiber in that broccoli like that.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
they
not
sure
that, but they were really after.
And the rice, I mean, it's very good to chew rice, break your teeth on it. Mm-hmm.
Not to my knowledge, Mayor, but that is a concern, and I do think that in the interim, those complaints really need to be directed to the county so they're aware of the quality.
So because who in the county did we direct those complaints?
It goes to Jeannie Wright. They can go to me, and I can collect them and put them
That's
over.
That's the way to do it.
Because
yep.
we've been correlating with her, but it does reflect poorly, too, on... you know, the efforts that we're trying to employ.
Well, also the quality of the food, like the fish, it was barely warm. That could cause some type of poisoning. People make people sick.
Well, most people overcook fish anyway.
Oh, okay. Don't think
Eat for yourself.
So how long does, as soon as you have a contract with the county then?
The county?
Yeah.
I don't know the length of their...
Yeah.
So I would wager it's at least a year. Our contract that we're entertaining with them is 2 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's why I was curious on, you know, they might be kicked out by a year. But.
Could be.
I wonder if there's any early exit clauses in this contract. But then again, who do you bring in to pick up the pieces when they haul their equipment out?
That'd be more of a county problem.
Well, it's our kitchen with their equipment.
I know, but it's going to be a county problem. And our problem, too, I guess.
Yeah, because they're going to turn the fairgrounds kitchen into it anyway.
Yeah.
Enough said. Any more questions, comments from the council? Looking for a motion to approve the contract 24-1152.
Anybody comment on this?
I make a motion we approve resolution number 24-1152.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Both same sign? Thank you very much. Motion carries. Upcoming agenda items, Mr. McIntosh?
We have two upcoming agenda items. The aforementioned transient room tax ordinance that we are going through the process of crafting. In addition to that, a potential DEQ loan document as it relates to design work for the Abraham Trunk Line. Those are both potentially on the purview for your next meeting.
Perfect.
Thank you. Any non-agenda items from council?
Just one. Are we doing anything with the master plan for the parks?
Currently with our SDC study that we did, that's got a really good base to it. So if we do anything at all, that'll be an amendment to that. That work that Scene did with the Medea will be rolled into that one. That's primarily where we're at now. So we haven't reached out for any engineering.
Last update on the master plan for the parks when I was on the park board.
That's the same one.
As many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And a lot of changes have occurred since then.
A lot of changes, right.
So basically what you're saying then is be the master plan update of day may be by amendments.
Yeah, because we've got a lot of, we identified a lot of the issues, Dave, in the parks, as you recall, in that work we went through, kind of layout of it, the new structured layout, different things we're looking, and once again, we're using that as a priority checklist, which is, we're going to be doing the bathrooms up there next, that'll be our next physical upgrade, and we'll kind of keep going through that list, too, like that. So
is there a time frame on when this will be completed?
No, the next step will be we'll bring it to Park Board, let Park Board know that it's been approved through Council, and then we'll start the discussion of what the board would like to see up there, individual or whatever that may look like, and then we'll kind of kick that around, kind of get some marching orders, directions, I guess, and then we will reach out to our engineer, kind of put a sketch together of what that'll look like, and just kind of like we did at the pavilion, and then we'll have a kind of a rough draft of that, and we'll figure out what we can do. Then we'll look at leveraging those funds there for grants and opportunities for funding.
Okay, are we looking at a timeline for this then?
I'd probably say with a year plus. It's like as slow as everything else goes. Just being honest.
Would you mind sharing that picture you shared with me earlier?
Oh, the one out here?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wait, show the.
Yeah.
Pass your phone around because if you get it back. And while he's doing that, would you please suggest a
view? Yes. I was going to ask Thomas. A couple months ago, we talked, or I talked about maybe an idea of somebody wanting to adopt streets to.
Road adoption program?
Yeah. Has anything been done on that?
Well, we dug into that pretty good. I actually talked to a couple of other cities that do that. There's a couple of cities that have had a program for a long time. Kaiser's been doing it for a lot of years. What we kind of got sidetracked with a couple of things, but what we got stuck on is what are the inherent liabilities in terms of not necessarily citizens adopting and assisting, but a lot of these programs, what they do is Public Works will end up supplying them with tools and equipment. And they use it to maintain, if you will, the street, and then or supplies, garbage bags, and those sorts of things. So I put a couple of requests out for a sample ordinance. It would take an ordinance to create that program. It would be a municipal code. There would have to be a policy accompanying with it. So we're still kind of embedded in researching what it would look like here, put into place in the city.
And just one other last thing. As you know, we're getting a new school superintendent. And that might be when iron is hot to strike to see if we can get a student on the council like what we had previously. Because I think that's important to have that interaction between the schools and the council.
Maybe we ought to talk to the principal wife.
We've tried that.
It didn't work out.
If it's coming from the superintendent, it might get some traction.
Yeah, we've met with him, counselor, already. Andy and I met with him.
The new superintendent?
Yeah, well, he's got a 90-day contract, and they would have to. So I think they're still working some things out. If you know more about that, by all means, counselor. But we met with him in conjunction with Safe Routes to School program. And I plan on going to their school board meeting, the next one they're having. I think it's the third week of this month. So I've got that on my schedule to go there. But this would be a good opportunity to reapproach that subject.
And well done about keeping this school safety alive. Well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important. Okay, anything else? Good of the order. The check copies were in our packets. Claims excess of $500. Park Board meeting August 13th at 4 p.m. right here at City Hall. Economic Development August 14th at noon here. City Council meeting August 19th at 7 p.m. Executive session, Mr. McIntosh?
None, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, Ed. Good night.
Meeting adjourned 7:45.